Hello, everybody. This is Daniel Brinkley. Welcome to the hearts and minds of Informant. This is News for the Soul.
Hello, this is Satyan Raja, and you're listening to News for the Soul. Be open in your mind, your body, your being. Allow yourself to drench in this awesome information to evolve you to your next place.
Hey, this is Dave Morehouse, and you're listening to News for the Soul.
Good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you're listening. I'm Nicole Whitney, and you found it, News for the Soul. Life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And we're here. So good to be here, and so good to be talking to all of you. We'll be back in a moment with our interview.
Did you know that News for the Soul is home to the largest totally free life-changing audio resource on the World Wide Web? And did you know that journalist and single mom Nicole Whitney is single-handedly making this freely available for you to hear? That's why your support is critical to help keep News for the Soul totally free. You can help in several ways. Firstly, you can tell everyone you know about News for the Soul. So many people out there still do not know about this totally free life-changing resource. So do us, yourself, and your friends a favor and pass it on today. Secondly, financial support for News for the Soul helps keep the show going. Whether it's through advertising, donations, or purchases of our exclusive audio and video packages, like the one and only Spoon Bending Kit, which will teach you how to bend metal with your mind for real. This support helps keep us on the air. Go to newsforthesoul.com now to find out more. We invite you to help us help the world. And thanks for tuning in. It's listeners like you who have made News for the Soul the number one life-changing talk radio show in the world, according to Google and AOL. Together, we are already making a difference in our world. So thank you for listening, and thanks in advance for your support. Now, let's get back to the show.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to News for the Soul. That's life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained, and it's all covered in full. Tom Campbell is back, the physicist and author of My Big Toe Trilogies, that's Theory of Everything. And the website is my-big-toe.com, and we're here for another amazing out-there discussion based on science and research that Tom has done. Welcome back, Tom Campbell, to News for the Soul.
Well, thank you, Nicole. It's my pleasure to be here.
It's always a party. I love these conversations that you and I have because we just go on all kinds of cool places. But, you know, again, from the realm of, I mean, people can go and tune into the previous interviews that we've done to get a bit more of the background, but your background is from the science perspective but exploring the beyond. Would that be a good explanation of it?
Yes, I'm a physicist. Actually did my thesis work in experimental nuclear physics, and sometime in the early 70s, like about 72 or 3, I got entangled creatively with Bob Monroe and helped him set up his lab to study out of the body. He was looking for some scientific people who could help him understand what was going on and make it a repeatable exercise rather than just something that happened randomly to some people. And after, five or six, 7 years working with Bob, I've continued to do research on my own, and that 30 years later, you know, here I am. So I've got a foot in both worlds, in the world of hard science and in the world of consciousness.
And I know today we wanted to talk about psychic abilities, telepathy, that kind of thing. What sort of research did you do in that area?
Well, we started with that sort of research out at the Monroe Laboratories, what it was called at that time, wanting to understand these phenomena, such as telepathy and other things as well, and try to make them scientific. The idea was to get rid of the mystery and try to find out just what they were. What it turned out and what we learned and what I've learned subsequently is that first you have to get the idea that we are beings of consciousness. If you see us as just physical beings and our consciousness is just some kind of tricks of the neurons in our brain, then telepathy is really hard to explain. That's why our science now kind of looks at it and shakes their head and says there's no such thing. You know, it's just good luck when people, you know, people know what somebody else is thinking. It's because they know them real well, or they guess right, or they get body language cues or other such thing. But if you understand us as beings of consciousness, and what we see here in the physical world is just perception and really a very limited perception of a much larger consciousness, then communication from consciousness to consciousness turns out to be, by another name, telepathy. We can communicate in more ways and in more forms than just through the avenues that are open to us in physical reality. So one consciousness contacts and communicates with another consciousness, and that comes across not as a communication like it does over the phone. It's not a linear breaking down into words and sentences. It comes in whole thoughts. A telepathic communication gets an idea, thought. Maybe the best way to say it is it's a paragraph. You get a whole paragraph of material, not a string of words and sentences. And it's a knowing. You just get the information. It's a consciousness talking to another consciousness. It happens all the time. I'm convinced that if there were no such thing as telepathy, if beings didn't communicate all the time with each other, there's a lot of things we just wouldn't be able to do as well as we do. How would babies learn our language if they weren't also getting non-physical communication going on at the same time that they're getting their physical cues? You know, we talk about vibes. Somebody has good vibes, or I really like that person, or I really dislike that person. I don't really know why, but it's this vibe thing. Well, this vibe thing is really just telepathic communication that's going on, and it goes on in many forms. It's not just, like I say, words and ideas. It's also kind of a sharing of energy. Communications is an energy form, and it's a sharing of energy between beings, sharing of information. So it's very common, and we all do it.
Well, it makes a lot of sense that it doesn't need to be linear, like, you know, if you were transcending dimensions, why the hell would you need to go linear about it, you know? But,
beyond language. It's not in English or in Portuguese or in French. It's just concepts. And it doesn't matter what language the other person is thinking in. You get the whole concept of the thought. It's not language-based. It's concept-based.
So a lot of people on my show over the years have suggested that this is a natural skill or ability or just a natural sense that we all have, that we've kind of ungrounded ourselves from it, but that animals do it and that, you know, it's a very natural thing. What do you feel about that?
Oh, I agree with that completely. We are conscious beings. We are consciousness, and that's just an attribute of consciousness that it communicates. It's perfectly natural. It happens all the time to all of us. Everybody is communicating on multi-paths at the same time. We communicate with body language. We communicate with words, with facial expressions, and maybe that goes under body language, but we also communicate telepathically. And all of these channels are open and moving all at the same time. Well, why are we not aware of the telepathy channel? It's because we are not aware, we're not in tune with our consciousness. We are very limited from the larger consciousness. And if we learn to meditate, learn to get in touch with that consciousness, we can become more aware of things like telepathy, and we can, you know, work it pretty much at will, like the other avenues. Yes, animals understand our feelings and our notions, and it's not all body language. They pick up on our thoughts, our content. Again, it's not language, it's a thought, and it gets interpreted differently. They don't get exactly the way you say it, but they get the idea, they get the concept.
I absolutely, totally believe I can, you know, that I'm communicating with my pets. Totally. Okay. It's spooky. You know,
it can get two ways. It's not just that you communicate what you want to them, but they can communicate to you.
Oh, absolutely. I totally believe that.
You just have to be tuned into it to be able to do that. Part of it is that we eliminate that possibility because we believe that it is impossible. And therefore, when it happens, we kind of poo-poo the idea or, you know, say, well, it's just my imagination, and we don't work with it. If you work with it, you can actually train yourself to get better at it.
So is it that we have to train ourselves to do it or unnumb ourselves out, whatever we've done to detach?
You've got it. Absolutely. This whole thing of getting in touch with your consciousness isn't a matter of something that you have to go do that you're not doing now. It's something you have to stop doing that you are doing now. You are presently blocking it. Your beliefs get in the way. It's an innate thing that's there, and if you get out of the way and stop blocking it, then it just happens. It's not something you have to go learn. You have to unlearn the blocking it.
So, because it was interesting, when I talked to South African Sangoma Credo Mutwa, he was telling me about, you know, there used to be what was called the bush telegraph, where, you know, years ago, before sort of, he was saying that processed foods and sort of things like that had an element of play in shutting off that connection, but that there used to be an absolute psychic connection where that's how they knew things. In their, you know, society before. So is it about processed foods and what we're eating and stuff like that, or how do we unnumb ourselves to the psychic ability?
Well, what we eat is a part of it, and he's exactly right in making that connection. It's not all of it, but it's a part of it. And the reason is that much of what we eat has in it substances that are psychotropic. That means a substance that affects the nervous system, that affects the way the brain and the nerves work. One of the most common psychotropic substances that we ingest lots of is sugar. Another one are the preservatives that we use that you find in processed foods. All of these things, or many of these things, will change the way you think. It changes the way you perceive. Now, if you ingest this stuff all the time, it becomes your normal state, and you don't notice it. So you say, well, it doesn't affect me. Well, it does. You just don't notice it because it's become normal. It's your background. If you stop doing these things long enough for them all to clear your system and for your nervous system to regenerate a bit, then you can see the difference. Yeah, he's quite right. Much of what we eat is a problem with our ability to connect with our consciousness.
And those were the two things that he mentioned, especially the sugar, you know, that they would try not to give it to their kids because they knew it was disconnecting them from something. So
absolutely. It does it. It will put you into a... What it does is that it makes the mind, it makes the consciousness kind of foggy. Eating sugar is about the same as taking a large dose of, say, antihistamines. You know how if you've taken a cold pill or two, and you just feel like your head is turned into cotton and you're like a zombie, it's hard to think, it's hard to really control your thoughts. Sugar does the same thing. You just don't notice it because most of us walk around like zombies all the time anyway. We're not aware of those things. We are disconnected. Yeah, sugar is one of the worst as far as putting a barrier up between you and your awareness becoming larger.
So, when you were doing this research, did you develop a list of things that disconnect us from our natural telepathic abilities?
Well, I didn't do that, but I can right off the top of my head give you a list of some of them. Besides the things we eat, which are mainly sugar, preservatives, and artificial colors and flavors. Those things are a problem, not because they're so strong, it's because they're pervasive. It's something that we ingest over and over again, you know, every day. Other than that, the other things that cut us off are our belief systems. When we believe that something just, you know, isn't possible, when we believe that things lie outside of our reality, they just don't compute for us, then we ignore them. If they happen, we think up some kind of way to justify them. And if you don't really deal with things directly, then you never get controlled. You never be able to really connect with it. So So beliefs is another terrible thing. Another thing in our society is that we are constantly inundated with stimulus. You know, we have the TVs running, the people are talking, you know, we have this overflow of data impinging on us. And when you're consumed like that with things, when you're bombarded that way, it's very hard for you to connect with, you know, your consciousness, with your inner self. So all those things, it's our culture, it's our beliefs, and it's the things we eat.
So, I mean, you mentioned beliefs, and we've been very conditioned to believe in certain limitations of our abilities. How does one change that?
That's a hard thing to change. Basically, it requires a paradigm shift in your worldview, your perspective of what, of how the world works. If in your paradigm, if in your worldview, you know, the physical world is the dominant reality and everything else is kind of in your head or an imagined reality, then you'll never get to the point where you'll be able to interact independently in a non-physical reality, in a consciousness reality. You will never get to the point where telepathy is open to you or seeing auras or going out of body, because you will just cut it off. Well, how do you get over it? You have to outgrow it. You have to change your paradigm. You have to realize that reality is bigger than what you thought it was and open your mind to a larger array of possibilities, and then go experiment, go experience, work for it. These things don't necessarily just pop out of the air for everybody. They do for some people, but often it means you have to put some effort toward it, and people don't put effort toward things that they don't believe are viable. So just opening your mind enables you to make some effort to see what's there, and you should never go in with beliefs of what you think's going to be there. You just go in open with what's there. You explore, and you demand proof. You demand evidence. Otherwise, you can lead yourself down the primrose path of thinking you're doing things that you're really not doing. And the one problem that many people get into initially is, was that something real, or was that just my imagination? Did I really, you know, travel? Did I really heal somebody, or did it just happen to work out that way? Well, my advice there is that you have to do experiments. You have to do it enough that you get good enough at it that you can control and repeat. And when you can control your mind and you can repeat these things, pretty soon statistic builds up to tell you whether you were just imagining it or whether you're doing something. And it's evidence that has to accumulate over years of experimentation, not necessarily a trivial or simple thing.
Now, in your books, do you have any kind of exercises that people can do to track and develop telepathy?
I do. I'm guessing the chapter number, but I think it's chapter 24 in book one. I have a long aside in there that talks about getting in touch with your mind and what to do to, how to meditate. And when I say meditate, I mean that in a very general sense. You can meditate many, many ways. You can do it, you know, the classical way is where you sit down or lie down and, you know, use a mantra. You can use things that you look at. You can just listen to music, or you can just be quiet in a room. You don't have to really practice any particular kind of meditation. Meditation is a letting go. It's a shutting off the noise of your mind and actually listening to your mind at its roots, not at all the busy, noisy stuff going on. And if you have techniques to help you do that, which like the mantra is one of those techniques, then it's a place to start. People in our culture need something to do, and even though doing is really the problem, it's being is what you need to do, is not to do, but to be. So the language doesn't even allow us to talk about it very
Being is what we need to do.
yes, that's it. The thing, the way to get there, the way to be able to communicate telepathically and understand consciousness and kind of meld your mind with other people, you have to stop doing. You know, it's really not doing. You have to stop doing the things that you're doing that block it. So when you talk about giving some people something else to do, it's almost like that's part of the problem. But with meditation, it kind of slowly weans you off of the doing and leaves you just with consciousness. At least that's the point. Yeah, I have probably 20 pages that explain how to do that.
Well, it's, you know, this has been one of my areas of interest personally, well, my whole life, but also ongoing as, you know, News for the Soul developed, because it, obviously it came up a lot, and I've had my own experiences ongoing my whole life, where I think that's probably given me the grounding for being able to have a paradigm shift is experience, direct experience. And so that's why I asked that. I'm going to give out a couple of websites as we go, but I wanted to find out, you know, talk about specific instances that you and I can talk about that we've had direct experience with, and then maybe talk about something we can all do together or something. So let's talk about you right now as far as what experience you've had with, like, what kind of things have you had telepathically come to you?
Well, you know, the more you get into this area and the more you learn to get in touch with your consciousness, you've realized that you live probably, you know, 70% of your life connected to multiple realities and interacting with people in ways other than physical ways. And, you know, telepathy is part of that interaction. And it becomes so normal and so everyday that you don't even think about it very much. My wife and I often know thoughts. I will sometimes hear what she said and ask her a question about it before she's actually said it. That happens lots of times. My kids will tell you that I was a very frustrating parent because they could never get away with anything.
Yeah.
All of their tricks and secrets were somehow known, and they would have their own techniques to where they would busy their minds with things so that I wouldn't overhear their thoughts. So they had their own strategies to get by Dad. You know, those things are just very...
I have to tell you, I totally relate to that one as a parent as well, because I've had that with my kids, and I mean, I don't nail it all the time, but, you know, the ones that I did, I'd really let them know, psychic, hello, you know. They'd be like, how did you know that? Oh, my God. And try to pull a surprise party for them or something. I'd be like literally sticking verses of poetry in my head or something so they wouldn't know. But they always knew.
Well, the people that you're closest to, your children, your parents, your good friends, those are the ones that, because of that closeness that you have, your consciousnesses tend to communicate more, and you tend to send and receive messages more than somebody, say, that you've never heard of on some other side of the planet. You block all that out. Though that's available too, you basically block that out, and you accept those things that are more significant to you. That's part of the filtering process. If you were just to open yourself up to all the messages that are out there, that would be like seeing on your computer all the websites that are up in the world all on your screen at the same time. You know,
okay, right.
it would just be nothing. It would be just background noise. So you use your intent to focus on the messages that you want to get and the messages that you want to give, and it's that intent that focuses your consciousness on an individual or what that individual is thinking. It's not just an open thing like it is in the air, and if you're in a crowd you can hear 50 people talking at the same time. You may not understand what any of them are saying because there's so much background noise, but it's not like that. Your intent focuses your consciousness and opens and shuts, kind of filters, if you will, on the possible conversations just to pick up what you know is there and what you're interested in. Now, if you believe that there's nothing there, then your filters are basically shut off and there's nothing there. You know, you create that situation. If you're in tune and you think there is something there, there might be something there, now you have something you can work with, you can experiment with, and see whether or not you are really getting something or whether it's just your imagination.
So what sort of exercise can somebody do to track results?
I always start people with something that's simple. And again, the simplest thing to quiet the noise in your mind, and maybe I should I should give this little example. The double E's who might be listening to this will understand signal, you know, noise, you know, that sort of, those sort of concepts. But when we receive information, that information isn't just pure and clean. It comes in a background of noise. And it's the same with our consciousness. The noise in our consciousness is all the little thoughts, and our attention is here, our attention's there. Our attention's flying all over the place. What am I going to do this evening? Where am I going to have for dinner? What's, you know, my children doing? All these things are going on in your head all the time. And consider that all to be noise to communication with consciousness. When you communicate with another consciousness, you need to get rid of the noise. The way you do that is through, basically, the way you do that is you just learn how to shut it off. But that process usually works through learning meditation. Learning meditation, you learn to quiet the noise, get the background down to zero, and just exist as a point of consciousness in a still, quiet void. When you can get to that state and maintain that state, then your consciousness is available to do whatever you direct it to do. Your intent will then, you can heal, you can travel, you can do all kinds of things with that consciousness. You can communicate. But until you can get to that still, quiet point, you're communicating over noise. Well, when you have very loud signals, like something that's going on with your child, say, then that's such a strong signal that it'll sometimes just tunnel through the noise. It'll kind of blurt into your consciousness anyway. And that's what most people experience as they're, you know, with telepathy, is that there's some event that's so important to them or significant or connected to them in some way that it just overcomes the noise and they get it anyway. But that then is not real controllable. That's one of those things that just happens sometimes when it happens. If you want to be completely in control over it, then you need to learn to shut the noise off in your mind and then tune in with people. You can tune in and share their consciousness. For instance, if you do that to someone that's sitting at a lunch counter having lunch, you can taste their food because you're sharing that part of their consciousness. You're getting that communication with them. That's a form of telepathy. It's not like hi, how are you, and you know, my name's Tom, but it's not that kind of information, but it's information just the same. And it just takes a little practice.
And it would be an interesting approach, new approach to dieting. But anyway.
Yeah, taste what other people eat and don't eat it yourself.
A new way to have my cake and eat it too. All right, I like that. So
that's one of the experiments that I set up for people to do sometimes. You know, let's say stand behind somebody that's at a counter eating, and you just try to taste their food, and then go up and look what they're eating and see if that's what you've been tasting. These are little experiments that you can do. It's easy to do. It doesn't require really anybody to cooperate with you, or you don't have to go turn all the lights out and get in a quiet place. Just if you just practice at things like that, you'll see that at first it's very random and doesn't seem to work very well. But the more you practice at it, the better you will get. The more you focus your intent on it, the better you'll get at it. And eventually you'll start to surprise yourself. And as you get successes, you start building on those successes. What you're doing there is training your mind to go into a particular altered state that connects with other individuals, gathers the information you're looking for, and brings it back. That's a process. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of being. And you can do it just by practicing at some simple little thing like that. You can practice with your pets. You can you can do other things if you want that are a little probably harder to do because they're so discreet. You can have somebody write numbers on a board in one room and then you try to read them from another. You can do that kind of thing. But the easiest thing is just go in your life where there are things you can communicate, like what food somebody's eating tastes like. Just work at it. It may take you 6 months or a year before you start having enough success that you feel encouraged, but don't give up. You will have success. It's much easier than you think and much more accessible than you think. We all can do it.
So are you familiar with the Boundary Institute, Dean Radin's websites?
No, I'm familiar with the name, but not with that institute.
Because I'll tell you, it's interesting. Well, I like practicing any way I can because I've had, like I said, so many instances of this. And it really annoyed me that, like you said, it was not repeatable. It would be like the blurbs coming through, the loud things coming through. So knowing it was true, knowing it was possible, but not being able to control it really frustrated me. So I found this website that's very handy. And confession on the air, I'm actually doing this every time I'm interviewing somebody because I wait for my conscious mind to get out of the way. And then I practice while I'm talking to people on the air. True story. So, gotsi.com. Gotsi, gotpsi.com. You'll see me in there probably right now if you're tuning in. And on News for the Soul, you'll see News for the Soul on the list. You can actually go and test different, pick the card that under the list of cards or something. There's sort of what they call it remote viewing, but it's really not remote viewing. It's remote viewing, the feedback kind of remote viewing, I guess. Are you familiar with coordinate remote viewing as well, Tom?
Yes, yeah.
So would you call that?
I'm familiar with that. I have a friend, Joe Monigal, did that for the CIA and wrote some books about it.
Yes, yes.
He does that sort of thing.
David Morehouse as well was on the Stargate program and has been on the show over the years. We've done the trainings with him. And that was the other thing I was going to say, because that was sort of being able to access that skill in a controlled way. But I want to be able to just do it while I'm sitting here. I don't want to have to go and, you know, get in the sleeping bag and go through a big process. And
You can learn to do that. There is no problem with that at all. You can access any of that information, and you can do it while you are interviewing, you know, somebody on the phone, perhaps, or certainly while you're driving or doing things that like that. You can be listening to a conversation, even partaking in it, and your mind can be split between several reality systems, and you can be getting that information on that level. It's all a matter of controlling your mind. You can parallel process very easily in multiple realities. It just takes practice.
Interesting. So what I'm getting the sense of clearly from this conversation is that it's a combination of attention, intention, and your belief system that are driving this. Okay.
It is. It's attention in the sense that you're not going to just sit down and say, oh, well, that sounds nice, so let me sit down and operate in three realities here this afternoon. That's not going to work. You have to pay enough attention to what you're doing to learn the process to get good at it. It's just like, you know, if you were to sit down and pick up a violin and try to play it, it would sound awful. You have to pay attention to your to what you're doing, how you're doing it. You have to grow the capability. It's intention, because intention is what moves consciousness. Intent is what opens and closes these filters. It what says which reality you go in and what you do there. Intention is kind of the motive force, if you will. Without that, you don't do anything. You just sit on the dime and don't go anywhere. So you need attention, which means you have to get there. You have to work your way to the spot. And intention, you have to have will of where you're going to go. And what was your last one?
Beliefs.
Belief. And belief is the thing that gets in your way.
Totally.
Now, belief won't get you there. It's not that you have to believe in it. It's not like Dorothy clicking her slippers together and, you know, having to believe that she can go back to Kansas. Belief won't produce any progress, but belief will inhibit progress. It's the negative beliefs. It's the I can't beliefs or this doesn't work beliefs that are the problem. It's not that you have to believe in something or even believe, you don't have to believe that telepathy even exists to understand and use telepathy. Believing in it isn't the issue. But if you believe that it cannot exist, then you'll never get there. The belief problem is a problem of blocks. It's not a requirement. So you can believe anything you want, I guess, if it doesn't block out of body or telepathy or something like that, then it's irrelevant. If your beliefs block it, then you have to outgrow the belief before you can get there.
Well, that seems to be the key part, isn't it? Because I know that, I mean, I've been doing this practice for years now, literally. on this website that I mentioned, gotsai.com, and the other Boundary Institute one that has just escaped my mind right now. But if you Google Boundary Institute online, you can find all of them. It's like the new Boundary Institute one and the old one for the testing of the ESP. And I actually wrote to Dean at one point. I think he might have thought I was some nut job writing in, but I was thinking, you know, as I've watched myself evolve, and he's only getting a portion of the data because the learning of that and the observing of the different results as you're learning and experimenting over time is the real data. Like for me, that's why I practice and practice and practice, because I know when I know now and I know when I don't know. That seems to be a big part of it, and that's very validating because then you get the result right in front of you. And in the early years, I could watch. As soon as I started getting it right every time, I'd get freaked out. I would literally go into fear. It actually scared me, and then the flow would stop, and then I'd have to go through it again and build it up again and start, you know, nailing the targets, and then I'd get freaked out, and then it would shut down. And, you know, it took years just to pass that stage of overcoming.
Yes, it takes a long time to get over these beliefs. I know when I was beginning out at Monroe, I had this belief that when you went to an altered state of consciousness, because I had done meditating for a couple of years before I ever heard of Monroe, and I knew how to meditate, and I had this idea that when you meditate, it's not really working, you're not really doing it unless you kind of get to this foggy state, and you have to kind of, you know, you get deeper and deeper, and it gets foggier and foggier, and then pretty soon you drop into the state where you're just point consciousness in the fog. And it took me the longest time to realize that that belief, that that's the way meditation was holding me back. It doesn't have to be foggy. You can be in those altered states of consciousness and be perfectly clear-headed. You don't need the fog. The fog was just somehow, I thought that that's the way a meditation state was. It was this kind of out there, foggy, not really aware of anything. And, you know, when you're in that state, you're not aware of what's around you. Well, that doesn't have to be that way. You can be in that state and be perfectly aware of everything around you. And then it's like, you know, that was an aha moment. And then after that, I realized, I experimented a whole lot, and to my surprise, found out that I was not only just as effective without going to that foggy space first, but I was more effective because I wasn't wandering around in a fog. I was more clear-headed. And it took me a long time to convince myself that it was, you know, that my belief was wrong and that I was part of my problem. But eventually I realized that, you know, that was a big barrier to get over, is you don't have to descend into the fog in order to be in an altered state of consciousness.
You know, that's probably the most valuable lesson, a thing that I learned through the coordinate remote viewing process and the extended and all the trainings of the David Morehouse. Anytime once your mind figured it knew something about it, there was often, most often, you getting in the way, you know? And I've noticed that with the ongoing practice on the gutsci.com site as well, because as soon as I think I've nailed down, I find like the modality shifts as soon as my mind gets in the way. Like I'll be doing the card thing and literally to the point where I'm writing in going, geez, there's something wrong with your program, because it's like cheating, because I can see where it's coming in because it's dark. You know, I actually thought it was a computer glitch until I realized, no, that was just I was switching into visual modality as opposed to like a sensing or a pulling and as soon as my mind gets in the way, it shifts into a different modality. It's like any time your mind, you find that the thinking, not just the belief systems, but the thinking, conscious mind
what you're
thinking.
Talking about, when you're talking about your mind and thinking, you're talking about your intellect.
Yes.
When your intellect begins to analyze, when your intellect begins to try to turn it into a process that you follow, you lose it.
Yeah.
You have to let the intellect go. These things are not negotiated. These places are not negotiated through your intellect. And for people who live out of their heads, like many intellectuals do, many scientists do, that's a very, very hard thing to realize, that there's so much that you can know, so much that you can do, so much that you can understand that has really nothing to do with your intellect. It's beyond intellect.
And yet it's always there trying to analyze it.
It's always there, and you have to just let it go. You have to learn to, you know, it's more of a balance. we let our intellects dominate our being, particularly in our Western culture. If it's not, you know, if we can't intellectually, or there's, we don't believe in things that we can't intellectually put in a box. And that's a big part of the problem, because this does not go in an intellectual box. You need to be a balanced person where you can have an intellect, because you need that intellect in order to, you know, for guidance, to help you learn and what you're going to do next. But the intellect is not the main connection to reality and with information like we're talking about today, or really anything else. I mean, what does the intellect have to do with love? What does the intellect have to do with compassion? What does the intellect have to do with almost anything that's really meaningful? Mm. The intellect can help you find your glasses that you set down, because you can think, well, let's see, where was I when I had them last? And that's an intellectual process. But the intellect is a very weak member as far as gaining understanding and trading information. You have to be able to be balanced, where you have an intellectual part and you have an intuitive part, let's call it that, and that the two are not isolated. There's not a wall between them. They are all commingled, and it's all part of one part, and they all live happily together and do their own thing without, they help each other. They're partners in a whole being. You should have intellect and intuition partnering together, each doing what it does best.
So, I know we're just about at the top of the hour here, and once again, kind of unplanned, put Tom on the spot. But is there some kind of neat exercise that we could do as a News for the Soul kind of collective, where people could have a direct experience with this?
Well, specifically, what do you mean? You know, if we're going to do an exercise, we generally have, you know, it's a very specific kind of training. When you say with this,
mm-hmm.
what do you mean?
How about, why don't we brainstorm on that after the end of the show here? And I'll, anybody listening who wants to take part, make sure you get on the News for the Soul e-news list. And then, once you and I come up with something, we can put that out to the community.
Okay, that would work fine. Yeah, I have lots of little exercises. People come to me now and again and want to learn how to increase their intuitive powers and awareness. And I have little exercises and things that I have them do at various parts of their development. So maybe we can come up with something that would be valuable. But they're all very specific things that teach you to, you know, do specific things. So we have to be. It's not going to be general. It's not, do this exercise and, you know, you'll become a wizard. It's not that
mm-hmm.
sort of thing.
Yeah,
do
no.
Do this exercise and you will gain some experience that will be helpful in letting you gain additional experience, and eventually you kind of have to pull yourself up to your own bootstraps. There's nothing magic about this. It's not
mm-hmm.
that you can do the magic words or even the magic exercise and it's going to work. You have to pull yourself up to your bootstraps. It's nothing that anybody can do to you or for you that will suddenly make it work.
Yeah, well, my thought was to create some kind of group, you know, experiment that would give them a direct experience with it that would motivate them to do just that. So why don't you and I talk about that? And those listening, you want to take part? It's going to be interesting at the very, very least. So get on the e-News for the Soul subscriber list. It's free. Go to newsforthesoul.com and just click on that button right there. In the meantime, don't forget my-big-toe.com. That's Tom Campbell's website, and you can find his book trilogy there and all kinds of cool stuff, forums, discussion groups, and more. So thank you, Tom, for being on News for the Soul again.
You're quite welcome, and I look forward to the next time. It's always a lot of fun. I enjoy this.
Me too, and we are getting great response from our listeners, so they're enjoying it as well. And let's see what kind of neat collective experiment we can come up with. Experience, I should say. And so stay tuned for that, everybody, and thanks for tuning in today.
Who are you? Why are you here? What is the meaning of life? These burning questions have plagued mankind throughout our existence. How would you like to experience a process that would allow you to have some of the answers? Answers that would cause you to live with higher awareness and deeper authenticity from now on? Well, you can. Warrior Sage is offering an experiential 5-day enlightenment workshop called Illumination Intensive. Regularly about $3,000 to attend, Satya and Raja of Warrior Sage is offering this life-changing 5-day course to News for the Soul listeners totally for free. That's right. The tuition has been completely waived for all News for the Soul listeners. Satyan says this experience is so profound, he wants to share it with the world. So don't miss out on this special opportunity. To have your own direct experience of awakening with Warrior Sage, go to illuminationintensive.com now and tell them News for the Soul sent you. That's illuminationintensive.com.
In December 2005, News for the Soul host Nicole Whitney experienced the most dramatic, life-changing psychic reading of her life. In that brief 10-minute mini-session, she released years of emotional baggage when Carrie O'Connor connected with a recently deceased family member, bringing Nicole a life-changing message from beyond the grave. Since that fateful day, Nicole has invited Carrie O'Connor on as a regular News for the Soul guest to do readings on the air. But you do not have to wait. Carrie is available for private sessions right now. Nicole has laughingly suggested wearing goggles and a helmet for these sessions because of the powerful energy that seems to come through Carrie when she's doing a reading. But don't take our word for it. Experience it for yourself. So pack up your goggles and helmet and book your life-changing session with Carrie O'Connor today. Go to InsideOutHighOutsideIn.com. That's InsideOut-OutsideIn.com. Joe Dunning is a most unusual spiritual teacher and healer. After working with Joe, many people experience profound physical healing or find that they're finally free from the pain from past traumas and abuse. And now you can have a direct experience with Joe Dunning yourself for free. On the last Tuesday of every month, News for the Soul listeners can take part in Joe Dunning's free monthly teleconference event. Go to joedunning.com now to find out more. That's joedunning.com.
It's not just a show. It's a movement. You're listening to News for the Soul, the number one life-changing radio show in the world, according to Google and AOL, and the largest free life-changing audio resource on the web. We feature the top luminaries in the evolution of human consciousness and have kept all of our shows all free, all of the time, for the world to hear. In a recent listener survey, News for the Soul listeners responded with overwhelming appreciation and praise, which they summarized with this one powerful statement. News for the Soul is not just a show, it's a movement. Go to newsforthesoul.com to see for yourself. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Breathe.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
From the heart of Vancouver, what a great place to bring News for the Soul.
I know, isn't it perfect? I remember that movie did, so Christopher Walken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like that for real.
I think reasonably accurate, too, honey.
Oh, that's an understatement, honey.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our hearts and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Well, Daniel just mentioned the heart attack. That is how he died, isn't it?
Yes.
Wow.
He had two heart attacks, right off one heart after the other.
Yeah, that's what I
said.
Wow. No, I had him. I have him.
You know, the whole thing about the spirituality and the wealth or sustainability not going together, I just think is the biggest load of crap, you know? I mean, what have you got...
Look at this girl.
Well, really, what have you got to give anyone if you've got nothing?
Buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy, because Kansas is going bye-bye.
Yes, I had this really bizarre experience where I got sucked through a wall, like a solid wall.
Breathe. During the time that I was knocked unconscious, an angel came to me.
People's solidity began to morph with the geometries, so you'd see little bits of their, like their hand began to go missing.
And this particular angel, as I recount in the book, said to me that I had chosen the wrong path in life, that I was to choose a new path, and it was to be a path of peace. I was to teach peace.
Lots of amazing things coming up for this hour. News for the Soul. Sifan, back in 1 minute.
I'd have to believe that the times that we're in are very important to us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Because if we're not really, really careful in paying and complimenting News for the Soul, we're about to find ourselves wrapped up in something that will literally encompass the world.
Yeah.
And not from the viewpoint that we're looking at it from. And so tonight, it is an empowerment, a place to become aware, a place to change, a place to not become fear-based, but become loving. Let's all take that deep breath.
Breathe. Staying connected to each other and reminding each other about, you know, holding this energy, not getting sucked up into all that, like all that garbage on TV for the last 3 days, just showing all the reruns of all the people falling out of the skyscrapers on the 11th, and you know, just over and over wallowing in the low frequency.
Creating a mindset. Though.
Exactly.
Nicole, that's a mindset.
Breathe.
That is a controlled mindset to change people's consciousness.
Exactly.
To create a way at which that they can be controlled to make a decision, like war or not war.
Totally. You know, I figure, hey, talk is cheap, which I probably shouldn't say on a talk show, but I mean, compared to doing and experiencing, it's cheap, right?
So experiencing
let's
is
experience different. Some of what you do now. They're driving, should they be concerned?
No. But turn the radio up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Shinkuntia, tena koe hota, grandfather. Carry me, grandfather. Shite hoka. Tena koe grandfather. Quay-a-chee-a-ha!